You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. As you're watching this, it's March 18th, 2025. We recorded this yesterday on St. Patrick's Day. Mark has green on. I don't. I forgot. Again, y'all are watching this on March 18th, so who cares? But I'm gonna get pinched. I'm recording this on the... We're recording this at 1:04 p.m. on the left coast on Monday, St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2025. How you doing, Mark? Are you got any Irish in you?
Yeah.
AG's French, isn't it?
The name's French, but my family was here since the early 1600s, so it's like we're from the South, so... DNA wise, it's all Scotch Irish, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Plus the 1/16 Cherokee.
Yeah, of course, naturally. Gotta have that.
Like every fucking redneck. So, St. Patrick's Day, the DOD is still celebrating. They banned Black History Month, but they're still doing the St. Patty's Day stuff. What do you think that's about, Trey?
White holidays only from here on out. Make it official.
I mean, I wish everyone would stop saying DEY. What they're doing is resegregating the federal workforce. But like, I the fact that at least they haven't gone all the way back to hanging up no Irish allowed signs. So at least we're not that far back. We're only going back to the 1950s, not the 1920s. So that's something to hang on to. I want to talk about today. We're talking about the horrors have begun. The immigration horrors. I stepped up from our usual immigration horrors that happened under both parties. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk about fun bit of news. So one thing Doge does as part of its quote-unquote cost-cutting is, like, reduce everyone's credit card limit to $1. All the company, the federal government company credit cards.
Oh, yeah, the GSA cards. Yeah, I used to have one of those.
Yeah. So, like, if you needed printer paper for the DOE or whatever, you could run and grab it, right? Or whatever, you know,
right.
Hypothetically. So... the problems I've seen is like, well, the park service, like usually the rangers, like a door came off its hinges on a cabin, they would just run to Home Depot and get it and fix it, right? But you can't do that because the hinge is more than $1. But a fairly comically stupid example of this, the TSA can't feed its bomb sniffing dogs.
Mm.
They can't buy dog food.
Them freezing all of these governmental credit cards, I mean, would that not just bring all kinds of governmental operations to a screeching halt, like across the Well, I mean, some of that, like, stuff needs to be done, doesn't it? I don't know. Like,
yeah, I mean, you'd think you'd want to sniff for bombs at the airport. That seems like a basic, like, if we want to get rid of the TSA, okay, we can go back to pre-9/11 stuff. I guess it mostly worked, but like, except for the one time it really, really didn't. Right. But they don't catch a lot of stuff anyway. But like,
no.
A dog, like, what are, how does starving a dog, like, they can't pay for vet visits either. So they don't, I guess we can't even get dog vaccines now. But even then a TSA spokesperson, I'm assuming was hired, a Trump hiree, told 404 Media, who reported on this, Our heroic canines are happy, healthy, and funded. Credit card purchases have been restricted for 30 days, but canine operations have not been adversely affected by this effort. So, unless they raise this credit card limit, the dogs will have no more food after 30. What they're saying essentially is they haven't run out of food yet. Or they're just lying and watching the dogs starve and saying dear leader shit. But it was, I was imagining like a Sarah McLachlan commercial, but they just recut it to the Walking on Sunshine. That'd be the soundtrack song.
Yeah.
Like it's like just the dogs. Like, oh my God, bro.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of apropos of nothing, but I don't know why I'm saying it, but I do that a lot on this show. The way when I had those cards, I guess that every agency probably has different ones, or they're probably different across the government. But when I had one of those cards, I used to have to pay that bill for that card, and then the government would reimburse me for, you know, whatever I paid. Meaning, like, that way they could decline to reimburse me for X part of it, you know? Like, if I never did, but if I used it on something I wasn't supposed to use it on, they wouldn't reimburse me for that amount. They just give it, you know, and then that amount would be out of my pocket. But that's how they used to make us do it. But anyway,
Could you expense like Netflix if you were watching like a documentary series about nuclear holocausts?
Definitely not. No. Okay. See, again, dude, people used to like care about things.
Yeah.
When I worked for the government, they actually were pretty stringent about stuff. You know. Almost,
no, buddy. Yeah.
Almost too much so, I would have said, as a 25-year-old. But anyway, all right, let's get into it. Producer Matt's with us. This is Weekly Skews. Before we continue, I want to remind you of a few things, of course. First, if you want to see me do stand-up comedy live and in person, go to treycrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. I'll be in New Hampshire, Boston, in Binghamton, New York, this weekend, all over the Northeast. So that'll be fun. That graphic is outdated. Austin, Texas has been moved to August. So after that, I got Lowell, Arkansas, then back home in Tennessee, then Oregon, and then Houston, Texas to round out the spring. A lot of fun stuff already scheduled for after that, too. So go to treycrowder.com. Come see me. Also on treycrowder.com, you can find a link just under the tour dates to my new special, which is on YouTube now, called Trash Daddy. People have been digging it. It's fun. I think you'll like it. If you like me, I think you'll like it. So please go to YouTube.
Why do you look like Oscar Isaac in that picture?
It's funny. I mean, that's just a picture of me, but I appreciate that. There was a guy speaking of my old government job, a dude that I worked with there, a lawyer there named Chris, he used to always tell me that I looked like Oscar Isaac. But now Chris was a black guy, so I was like, okay, he just, you know, all white guys look alike.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's what I chalked it up to. But but thanks. Yeah, every now and then people are being particularly gracious. I'll get Oscar Isaac or like Charlie Cox sometimes, who is the daredevil guy.
See, I've never seen it before, but just in that picture, it's like, that's Oscar Isaac. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Mark. I'm going to be floating the rest of the day. I appreciate that. So yeah, go watch Trash Daddy on YouTube. And lastly, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more, or go to Patreon and search for my name. Either way, you'll find it. $5 a month gets you access to 2 full-length bonus episodes. We just finished up our spring's Q&A, where we answered all your burning questions. Other than that, we just do bonus episodes of this show. It's just literally just this show, but more of it. So if you want more of this show and to support it in the process, consider signing up on Patreon. We appreciate it. Now, as for today's show, Mark already kind of told you, we're talking about the horrors have started, the immigration horrors we could see. Can you, in fact, deport the First Amendment? We're doing our damnedest to try. More on the travesty that is the situation with Mahmoud Khalil a little bit later. But first, we begin with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, people who thought let them eat cake could never be topped, being introduced to let them wear Prada. There we go.
It looks just like any other influencer video. A young woman posing in front of a camera over and over and over again, showing off her trendy but timeless professional fashion. But she's no ordinary influencer, and that's no ordinary office. Her name is McLaurin Finover, and she's the Trump administration's new director of communications for the Office of Personnel Management, or OPM, which manages federal employees. All of these videos were shot in her government office here at OPM headquarters in Washington, D.C., ground zero for Trump's plan to cut thousands of workers from the federal government in the name of efficiency. Inside her office, Finover captures video at her desk, putting on makeup, modeling new outfits to her 800 followers.
Okay, you got it. 800 followers.
800 whole followers.
800 followers. That's the part that I wanted to get. Oh, my. Dude, Jesus Christ, this fucking lady. So she just took this job in January. She's a pure Trump appointee. McLaurin is. McLaurin pinned over. So she deleted her account after CNN asked her about it. Trendy but timeless. Hashtag DC influencer. Her handle was Get Dressed with MC. So while her, to be quote here from the story, while her team is getting axed, she's twirling around in her office. Again, she's a spokeswoman for OPM, which is the department who's in charge of laying off the federal workforce. And she is spending her time, again, the people being laid off in the name of government efficiency. And what is she doing at work? Twirling in hashtag OOTD outfit of the day, outfits.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, I'm not, glad to say that not much has changed. I mean, I was there kind of pre-influencer, but in my day, I was on fantasy football pages and, that type of stuff is what I was doing in my governmental office. But anyway, but yes, it's a particularly bad look for, at least a mouthpiece for, the Doge's, hatchet phase they're going through with the federal government. Somebody's got to defend them laying off seasoned governmental veterans and then, making little fit drip video, fits and drips and all that. I don't know, but you know what I mean. Or not be doing that on government time anyway. It's a bad look.
Well, I'm not even trying to be one of those people. I don't care if she played fantasy football. I wouldn't even care if she's making these videos. If she was if the government was not functioning, I don't care.
Right.
What if people in office jobs would spend maybe 2.5 of their 8 hours doing action, it's like normal.
It is very normal. Yes. No, yeah. Right. I'm sorry. Look, far be it for me, but it's just it comes up sometimes where it's like, of course I don't have a problem with, if Lindsey Graham is gay, I don't have a problem with that. It's just that the way that he be about, gay people and the rest of the gay community is that's what makes it a problem. And it's a similar type of thing here.
Yeah. Let's watch. I want to watch this second clip from the CNN piece because it's pretty. It's pretty funny.
February 13th, the day 20 people on her communications team lost their jobs, she posted a moment for mixed patterns. When her agency demanded all federal employees.
Well, look, she's wearing dark gray or black week, right there.
She posted the businesswoman special as OPM spokeswoman.
Go back, Matt. That's my fault. I thought it was just that first clip. I didn't realize there was more.
Mixed patterns, and the week when her agency demanded all federal employees list 5 things they did that week, she posted the businesswoman special. As OPM spokeswoman, she defended the memo.
So do you think she replied to the 5 things email with 5 videos or what?
I would respect her more if she did. That would be hilarious. But I was just saying, she's just, at least it's in grayscale. It's it's she could wear that to a funeral, is what I'm saying. So at least, she's got a little bit of class.
Get to the part
garish, color patterns or anything while they're firing everybody. That would be uncouth.
That's the other part of this. Her outfits are fucking trash. They're the most plain fucking nothing vanilla office lady, which is fine. I'm not saying everybody has to but you're trying to be an influencer wearing the same shit that my mom wears to work. You know what I'm saying? There's a reason you have 800 followers, McLaurin. You might as well do your fucking job because this shit isn't going to work for you. But
tell her. That's right.
Roasted. Boom, roasted, yeah. McLaurin. But anyway, she still has her job as far as anyone knows because whatever she's doing is far more important than, the park rangers and the cancer researchers. Bro, did you see that there was a mRNA pancreatic cancer vaccine?
Yeah.
That just had a bunch of success in trials. And the government is responding to that by taking away all funding from mRNA vaccines.
Right, just because of COVID backlash stuff, because mRNA vaccines are just dirty words now. You can't even cure cancer anymore. But just so everybody knows, that's the cancer my dad died from, by the way. Mm-hmm. Which, if I was a Republican, I'd probably be glad to hear this because, I wouldn't think anyone else would deserve a living father after mine had died. That's usually how they treat student loans and shit like that. So, but I'm not, so I would like to see them cure pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
So I think that's a real shame.
What a woke, pussified liberal would expect the government to supply you with a living father.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, it's just like they're defunding all the science, dude.
Well,
like,
yeah,
it's like,
right.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just, yeah, it's just like that's the real pain of this moment is like not that any of the horrors that we're experiencing unprecedented or fucking or that this is a relatively bad time in human history to be living through until the nukes start flying or whatever. But like, but it's just that a better future was right there.
Mm-hmm.
It was right there.
Yes.
You can reach it.
And I don't know. Maybe that isn't true what I was going to say. I was just going to say, I feel like on my Patreon earlier today, I was talking about like the Gilded Age and stuff and the mm-hmm. like so some of the parallels, whatever, the you know rampant income inequality and technological explosions and all that shit. But I feel like the overlords back then, the main thing I was talking about was how they were like, you know, like Carnegie and Rockefeller and all them. It's like they were ruthless, cutthroat, you know, businessmen who destroyed countless lives, but they also at least were majorly philanthropic and would like make colleges and stuff and they'd do a little bit of something. So I was lamenting how shitty our class of rich people are. But the other thing I was just now thinking about was I feel like back then there was no, I don't think there was a big anti like scientific advancement sentiment or whatever. Like people were excited about.
Oh, sure they were. That's part of the Red Scare and stuff. It was part like all wrapped up in that. I mean, we're doing the Red Scare again, but it's the same. It's similar.
But among like those people, or like the people in charge of the government, like we've always been very pro advancement, haven't we? Like I know there's been movements of people.
It was the business overlords who were pushing the Red Scare, trying to kick out all the Jewish scientists because they were afraid because they were mad about the New Deal. They're still mad about the New Deal. It's the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, the Carnegie people, they had lived through serious labor uprisings and had watched the fall of the Tsar and Soviet Russia, right? They knew they were paying the mob not to kill them, but their philanthropy,
uh-huh.
because they understood how the social contract worked, that them giving the poor people a chunk of their money for some services was the compromised position as opposed to getting murdered. Elon thinks he's being taken by taxes.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't understand that that's the compromise position. So he's trying to undo it. So I don't think it's going to work. Anyway, you want to talk about, let's talk about the horrors?
Yes.
All right. So the general stuff, like last time we talked about immigration stuff, it was about how they were over bragging about the little bit they'd done in order to scare people. Well, now they've gotten their ducks in order. And so everybody understands what's happening is with Biden and Obama before him, and even Trump one did to a lesser degree, was focus on deporting people who are actually dangerous criminals, right? But having some due process to prove they were dangerous criminals. The problem is that's difficult, and finding actual criminals is harder because there's not as many of them. So what Trump has done is reshifted immigration focus from actual dangerous people and criminals to everybody who's here with even mistaken paperwork to get the numbers up. So they're basically, imagine deporting a teacher and leaving a rapist because there are more teachers than there are rapists.
Okay.
That's essentially what's happening right now.
It's just easier to do. It's easier to pad your stats, but doing it that way. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. So just a few, these are anecdotes, but they shipped a Hmong woman from Milwaukee to Laos with no insulin. Like she needs insulin. They don't have it. She's under guard in Laos. She doesn't speak Laotian. She's never been there. She was born in Thailand. She's been in Milwaukee since she was a little kid. And what she got deported for was somebody dredged up an old weed arrest from like 8 years ago. Okay.
Yeah, but why Laos? Why that specific country if she's never been there or whatever? If they're going to deport her, how did it end up being that country that she has no ties to?
She was born in – my understanding is she was born in Thailand after her family fled
there? Okay. Gotcha.
Yes. All right. So but even like what a tragedy and a farce this is, if you know anything about the history of the Hmong people and why they were forced to flee Laos, is because the CIA tricked them into helping support their fight against the communists and anyway – like we basically did yet another ethnicity we enlisted in a fight against an oppressive government that we just abandoned when they were no longer useful to us or they lost.
Classic. Classic CIA. Classic us.
They deported a Trump supporter's wife when they tried to re-enter the country from vacation in Puerto Rico, which means that's not even an international flight. They just nabbed this woman at the airport, even though they were flying from a U.S. territory to a U.S. territory. Okay. And do you read that piece, Trey? I know I sent it to you.
About the Trump supporter's wife guy? Yeah.
Yeah. The guy's whole attitude was like,
yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, this is the- It's like, bro, Jesus fucking Christ.
Well,
like,
hell, you know, maybe he's one of them that was trying to get rid of her. I don't know. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, like the details in the article sound like they were newlyweds who were deeply in love, and like her stepdaughter, his daughter, really, really loved her and stuff. So like, it sounded like he was just sort of like at a loss.
Yeah. You
know? The stuff I don't even get the point of. They've arrested one German coming into the country on a visa, another one who's been here on a visa, married to an American citizen. The one who's married to an American citizen, I think, is from the Northeast somewhere. Like, the way he was being treated is described as like torture. They forced him into cold showers, deprived him of food. They said they were interrogating him, but he's a German national who's been living here for a long time. Interrogating him for what? They're just like fucking torturing him for the fun of it, to the point he had to go to a hospital. They detained a British cartoonist who's lost in the fucking deportation system, a fucking Canadian woman.
Are any of these people that you know of, are they like that cartoonist, does he make like, you know, scathing political cartoons or anything? Like, are any of these like, you know what I mean, dissidents or something like that? Or they're just regular, they're not even political.
They're all boring white people.
Right.
That's that's what I'm saying is, like, if anybody watching this from overseas, do not fucking come here.
Yeah.
Do not come here, which is a sad note. That's not the main thing, but rest in peace to the American tourism industry. Mm-hmm. They're just basically like, it feels like they're just like let loose. It's like, I don't know, like Fox and a henhouse type shit, but they're just fucking anybody with like the Canadian lady. She was coming into US from Mexico. She had went back to the embassy to get her visa fixed after being detained. And then she just got arrested and shuttled around to fucking deportation facilities for reasons. No one, the best guess is because what she does is she owns like a brand of like, I think, what do you call it? Seltzer water that has tea, it has hemp in it.
Okay.
So the federal government thinks she's a big time drug dealer, even though it doesn't have THC. It's like fucking anyway. They wouldn't let a kidney transplant doctor at Brown University come back in from Lebanon if she went visiting her family. She was also a Fulbright scholar at Columbia University, fled to Canada. We have political refugees fleeing the country, is what I want everybody to understand here. This Fulbright scholar at Columbia, we're talking about Columbia a lot today, she wasn't even a protester. She got kettled. She was walking back to her apartment after class, or study at the library or something. And when cops call kettling, when they corner everybody in an alley so they can group arrest them.
Okay.
She just got caught up in a mass of people and arrested, even though she wasn't even protesting anything. She was on a list on an ICE list. She just fucking fled to Canada. Over the weekend, the administration defied a court order in the midst of shipping 261 Venezuelans to a prison in El Salvador. Again, we're shipping Venezuelans to a prison in El Salvador.
Yeah. Is this the thing that Homan said, I don't care what the judges think, or I don't care what the courts think, or whatever, it was about this, whatever. And it's like, that's like, you know, that's been kind of the question the whole time with all these rash decisions they're making. And as far as, you know, judges standing in the way, it's like, I mean, you tell me, well, then if they just respond to that like this, if they just go like, okay, well, I'm just not going to do that, or I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. And then they do it. Like, I mean, then what? Like,
Well, they're not really. I don't know what happens after that, but like they're not really in. So, Trump spokeswoman Kristen Leavitt walked back. Well, Tom said that he was fired up, but we're in compliance with all court orders. What they're saying is the order didn't count because the plane was already over international waters.
Okay, all right,
But that's not really how anything works because the agency is headquartered in the United States. There's not like a base you can get to where you don't have to listen to a court order. But also, she was like, well, we're not sure that a verbal order has the same power as a written order, which is like. Talk about how fucking far school. No lawyer's ever made that distinction before because, for one thing, it's not just not true that a verbal order doesn't count. But two, we've all seen Law and Order, and we know there's a court reporter sitting there turning a verbal order into a written order within half a second after the judge verbalizes it.
Yeah.
So, the fuck. They're saying the news reports about this, and there has been some pushback. I'll give some reporters credit. But, like, they keep saying alleged gang members, okay? No one believes all 261 of these guys were gang members. You cannot fucking believe it. It's not true. Last time we talked about this, when they're rounding up people in Colorado, they rode out for a day with the goal of rounding up 300 gang members. They arrested 100 people, whom, according to their own information, five of them were members of Trinidadagua. There's about 5,000 people in Trinidadagua worldwide last time I checked. 261 of them are not on that fucking plane.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie.
Yeah, it's just like brown dudes with tattoos.
Right.
Pretty
they're
much.
Saying, they're saying the tattoos prove their connection to the gang, which is funny because I have tattoos. One of the tattoos they put out as like indicative of membership in Trinidad y Tobago is the Michael Jordan Jumpman logo.
Come on, dog.
Right.
Fucking, yeah. So every streetball player from the 90s beyond is in Trinidad y Tobago now, or however the hell you say it.
They appear to reverse engineer this because a Venezuelan who had been living in Colombia presented himself at the border on January 19th to ask for political asylum. A Border Patrol officer saw his neck tattoo of the Jumpman logo, decided it was suspicious, and therefore he should be deported. And then they reverse engineered this logic that the Jumpman logo is Trinidad y Tobago.
You just made me remember something I hadn't thought of in years and years. Did you ever run into, in like your hometown, the particular brand of nonsensical racism that was like, you just made me realize this is not the first time that I've heard that there were like racist meanings behind like Nike iconography or things like that, like sports clothes. Like, did you ever hear rednecks say what Nike really stood for, or like that it was like gang related and shit like that? Nike and Adidas and all that. Yeah. Well, I did. I don't want to get into it because it's real gross, but I didn't know how widespread that was. But I remember like some of the rednecks in my school in the 90s. Saying that, you know, because like Nike was huge at the time and associated with like Michael Jordan and other black people. Uh-huh. And I mean, of course, fucking white kids were wearing them too all over the place. But anyway, they were trying to act like it was some pre-internet conspiracy theory that it was all secretly some kind of gang shit. It was all gang stuff, pattern logos and iconography and stuff like that. So very, very dumb.
No, I'm not familiar with that particular racist conspiracy theory. Another tattoo they're saying is indicative of membership in Trinidad y Tobago is just a tattoo of an AR-15, which is like, so RIP to like everybody in tactical gear, you're getting deported. So this particular scheme, we're paying Salvador's president, Bukele, $6 million to hold these people a year during which they'll serve, there's supposed to be a year, serve hard labor. I assume they'll never fucking get out. And by the way, so when you hear Salvador in prisons, think where Batman was sent in Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, I mean, aren't they famous for like they revamped, I'm doing air quotes, their prison system a few years ago to just like be way more brutal and draconian, basically, to like crack down on all their gang stuff or whatever. But it's like basically Salvadoran prisons are they don't fuck around. They're very intense by even Central and South American standards.
Yeah, you can go read Human Rights Watch reports on Salvadoran prisons, and read like Yelp reviews after stays in Pennywise's sewer.
Right. So, yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
If you think about this for half a second, what we're doing is we're rounding up people based upon flimsy pretexts, and we have shipped them overseas to serve as slaves. We're human trafficked slaves, except we're not selling them into slavery as paying them into slavery.
Right.
So, and so they had deported these people. Trump invoked the Alien and Enemies Act, which is from part of the Alien and Sedition Act from 1798. And whenever somebody dredges up a law from 1798, you know it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
The Federalists openly trying to use this law to punish journalists they deemed unfairly critical and deport immigrants they saw as a threat to the nation. Conservative media of the day built support for these laws by circulating batshit conspiracy theories. So, again,
the more things change.
You're right. By the way, the continuing resolution that fucking Chuck Schumer and none of the Democrats voted for at the end of last week added $500 million more dollars for ICE. So yeah. Congratulations, everybody. The Democrats also passed the Lake and Riley Act to speed all this shit up.
So, by the way, just so everybody knows who's watching this on the regular edition, we did talk about Chuck Schumer's big betrayal last week at the beginning of that the Patreon episode we did, so you know.
Yeah, I would repeat my takes, but I'm too mad to do it again. But I want to talk about, focus on one guy's horrific immigration experience ongoing right now. He hasn't been deported yet. He's still being held somewhere in, I think, a private prison in Louisiana right now. Talking specifically about Mahmoud Khalil. His arrest, a kidnapping by ICE, has gotten a lot of attention, I think, because it wraps up a bunch of our national mental illnesses into one neat little ball. You got racism, addiction to war, attacks on free speech, attacks on higher education, and the dismantling of scientific research, plus, you know, all this stupid fucking surveillance state we built up after 9/11. And I The through line I want to talk about here is, like, I think I've lost count of the inversions of reality, the way people talk about this case. There's so much bullshit wrapped up in it that it kind of makes my head want to explode. It's just, like, so much of the stuff is just happening in a fake universe. It's like we're watching a debate show that's being aired on the ship on Starship Troopers.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, speaking of Starship Troopers, Trump administration put out a fucking video of the deportations of the fake Trinidad Aragua members. It was set to, like, a techno beat and showed their heads being forcibly shaved and being dragged off the plane in cuffs by guys in balaclavas holding weapons, dragging them by...
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Neck, and I'm like, I don't know who this is supposed to hit for.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like, yeah, showing it as like a source of pride or whatever, like highlight videos, and it's just like crimes against humanity. People are cheering it on and shit. Well, also, speaking of Starship Troopers, I just read yesterday that they've got a new one in development, Mark, coming from Neil Blomkamp, the director of District 9. So, that's got some potential, but if you don't know, Neil Blomkamp has been attached to pretty much every prominent sci-fi franchise in recent years and hasn't made a single one of them, so it probably will never happen.
He also said they're going back to the book as source material, not the movie, where the book is objectively pro-fascist.
But you could still, I mean, you could subvert the, you know, you could use the narrative. It doesn't matter. We ain't got to divert into that. I just didn't know if you'd heard that, because I know we both like that movie a lot. Anyway.
Yeah. So the weird thing about this story, the way people talk about it, Khalil, is the only people involved with any institutional power who are being remotely honest are the Trump administration when they admit that he committed no fucking crime. They're the only people being honest. Like, no, we didn't do anything wrong. We're kicking him out anyway. It was purely for his political speech. Yeah, we're doing it. So, like, there were protests planned over the weekend. I didn't see much coverage of them because, of course, there's not going to be any. But, like, but they're supposed to be nationwide protests, and I hope they fucking continue. But to get to who Mahmoud is, he's 28 years old. He's a legal permanent resident, which is an important part of this story. His wife's 8 months pregnant. She's an American citizen. The reason I bring up the legal permanent resident thing is because when I snatched him, this is on video. I just don't want to play it because it's fucking gross. They go, we're picking you up because your visa has been revoked. And he goes, I'm not here on a visa. So you could not have revoked my visa. I have a green card. I'm a legal permanent resident. And they go, oh, well, that's been revoked too. Not a fucking thing.
Right.
They just pretended they had their homework in order, and they did not. Khalil's, he's a Palestinian descent, but he was born in Syria, I think. I've seen that reported. And he's a citizen of Algeria. I can't tell you, again, people talk about these protests is insane to me. I can't tell you that no one said anything anti-Semitic at the Columbia University protest related to Gaza and Israel. That would be a stupid thing to claim. But Khalil did a lot, as a leader of the protest movement, did a lot of interviews where he said all the right things about how my Jewish friends don't have the same fight. These are old prejudices. Anti-Semitism has no place in our protest movement. He also coordinated a Passover Seder for Jewish protesters.
Was he kind of the face of the ones at Columbia at the time when they were happening? Like
one of them, yeah. Right. They also still
so obviously, still, yeah. Well, I know you said they straight up admit that that's why they picked him up, but I'm just saying, like, clearly that's the reason why. Like, that, like, him being the face of those protests, which they deemed anti-Semitic, regardless of what he on a personal level did or how he conducted himself, that's like the justification, that the only justification they need to deport this legal permanent resident. And they don't even feel the need to, like, lie or bullshit about it either.
Right. They don't think, right. Their whole position is they don't need a justification.
Yeah, right.
And we'll get to that in a second. But, like, so Khalil also worked at some point for the UK at an embassy as a translator. And as far as I know, he was just a translator, but he seemed to be well-liked. I saw interviews with his former colleagues at the embassy. But for a moment there, I was like, did they kidnap a British spy? I'm not sure why he was targeted, but he was targeted. And it's pretty clear that he was personally targeted by the Trump administration. First of all, they posted this in the official White House Twitter account. Shalom Muhammad. With a picture of it, like, make it look like a wanted poster. Like, he's wanted for crimes against the Jewish people or something. So they're taunting him with Shalom. Yeah, I mean, they're not even, like, I can't handle the lack of cleverness of any of this. Like, they did not need to stunt or flex on this at all. Yeah. They could have quietly done this, and maybe less people would have noticed.
Kind of Streisand effect situation.
Right.
But again, they, you know, they're proud of it. They don't think they have anything to apologize for, and they, like... Mm-hmm. They don't care. They want I don't know if they want the heat. They just don't care if anybody tries to turn up the heat. They'll just, you know.
They want this fight because if they win it, okay, if you can just remove a person's green card status and take it away, and then what comes next is, like, visas. Like, no one's going to be able to contest a visa being revoked. And, like, what comes next is trying to denaturalize people.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure those star people that are born foreign-born, but there's no reason they couldn't do it to me and you. People born in America have been denaturalized before, and they're going to do it straight up for political speech. So this is a test run, a trial run to see what happens, right? And another reason we know these ICE agents on the video I watched refused to give their names. But when you're standing up for the fucking law and you won't say the name of yourself as a cop, I feel like you know you're fucking up,
mm-hmm.
right? And then another reason we know they were targeted, this is according to Khalil's lawyer. The agents said this. They said the White House was reported. They said the White House is looking for a report, all right? They have overheard officers say that. So they were calling the White House to give a direct update on snatching one guy who hadn't violated any laws they were trying to try to deport. This is the full machinery of the state going after one guy for political speech.
Right.
I just wanted to be utterly clear about what's happening here. According to The Guardian, the pro-Israel group, Betar US, I don't know how to say it, says it is a deportation list and has sent thousands of names to Trump officials. Okay. So you have a Zionist organization who has a list of people they want deported, and they have Trump in their pocket. So what's happening here, kind of.
Yeah. And I thought, look, not to give her any kind of credit at all, so I don't know if she since walked it back, but I know when this was first happening, even like, didn't Ann Coulter go, like, did you see the thing Ann Coulter said about this? She was like, it was funny because she started it by saying, listen, there's almost nobody on earth I don't want to deport. I love deporting people.
No, I had to run down somewhere. We're going to get to it, but yeah, she said, like, I basically want everyone deported. But if this is just about his political speech, then yeah, here we go.
Yeah,
she's like, there's almost no one I don't want to deport, but unless they've committed a crime, isn't this a violation of the First Amendment?
Right. So it's like when you got even Ann Coulter, you know, calling you know this excessive, then you know
she has a more principled position on this than Chuck Schumer and John Fetterman.
Right. Yeah.
And I know it's because she's anti-Semite.
Sure.
But her position is correct here. I do want to say, like, you find yourself reluctant to, like, be supportive of Mahmoud because you find his politics distasteful. Like, that's exactly why they chose him. They chose him because he has a pretty unpopular position in America.
Because if you try to, like, defend him or whatever in any kind of public way, they can just then say that you're being anti-Semitic or you're also anti-Semitic or whatever. And it's like, even though that's ridiculous, they can just say that and then go on with their day. And it's, you know, it, like, gives them that out or whatever.
Chuck Schumer was asked about an interview over the weekend. And, I mean, no, sorry, you put out a statement last week about this. The gist of it was, of course, Mahmoud is a subhuman piece of shit terrorist sympathizer, but let's make sure due process is followed. Right? And Trump's response to that was to say he's not even, Chuck Schumer's not even Jewish, he's a Palestinian. They're calling him Cuck Schumer, Trey. Right. I think we got to get the name stick. So if his speech follows you, so today it's the edgier parts of the pro-Palestinian activism. Tomorrow it's gender ideology. Then it's saying you were born gay. And a year later, it's like for promoting the climate hoax, which is like, I'm barely exaggerating because right now to seize a bunch of money from Habitat for Humanity that the Biden administration dispensed to fight climate change. Because climate change is fake, therefore the money was obtained through fraud. The FBI is harassing Habitat for Humanity because of climate change. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, take a stand here, or there's no fucking there's no stand. You right. know what I'm saying? But also, like this, today's not about the merits of the protest, but having this discussion at this particular moment feels like a fucking farce. Because last week the AP had this story where the U.S. and Israel trying to talk three African countries, Sudan, Somalia, and Somaliland, into taking 2 million Gazans after they kick them out of their fucking homeland. And shortly after Khalil was arrested, Israeli Energy Minister Eli Cohen announced that there will be no more electricity in the Gaza Strip, which means no more clean drinking water. So that's a part of this big bullshit is you object to any part of this. You say that like children should have access to drinking, should have access to clean drinking water taken away from them. You're being anti-Semitic.
Right. Yeah. That's the bullshit nature of how they framed it from the very beginning.
Right. And there's a poll last week, 70% of Israelis still want Bibi Netanyahu to resign. Is that anti-Semitism? Do the Jewish people of Israel know that's anti-Semitic in America? Because that's how it's being framed over here. The actual way they're framing it to sound legalistic, but it's not, is they're saying Mahmoud was engaged in, he led activities aligned to Hamas, while his friends say he attended Shabbat dinners. So who do you believe on Mahmoud's anti-Semitism? His beloved Jewish friends or the administration of a guy whose wife said his favorite book was Mein Kampf? But that's how much bullshit stacked up on this stuff. It'd be funny if it was another reality.
Yeah. But most people, I say most people only because we just talked about Ann Coulter a minute ago, but most people that are on, their side will see, they'll just see that he was, leading those protests. They'll just buy it is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Even though he has Jewish friends saying he went to Shabbat or whatever, they're not going to hear it. He's a brown dude who was in those protests and whatever. So they'll just, they'll totally believe that he's in Hamas, nothing you can do about it with those people.
Aligned to Hamas sounds like it's quoting some law or something, but it's not a legally operative standard. The standard for moving somebody or punishing somebody for being pro-terrorist or in America is material support for terrorism, mostly money or maybe money, intelligence. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So by phrasing it as aligned to Hamas, they're basically admitting they can't meet a real standard, like an old real standard, by inventing a fake new one. Okay. So that brings us to the big bullshit number two. He's being accused of like leading activities aligned to Hamas. Netanyahu's government literally facilitated the funding of Hamas. I'm talking literally delivering duffel bags full of cash to Hamas.
That's all part of the record. Because so that they would do some shit which would necessitate a response from them, which would allow them to wipe them off the face of the earth after that, basically, and keep power the whole time while they're in
war. The other potential faces of Palestinian independence have more international credibility than Hamas because they're a terror group. So Netanyahu wanted to keep the terror group in power so he can say we can't let them be a state because they're led by a terror group.
Right, yeah.
The Palestinian Authority, while corrupt as fuck, is a lapdog to Netanyahu and is secular and is there not a terrorist group and is therefore more credible to outside people to be the leaders of a two-state solution. So they can't be allowed to have any more power because then people might think that Palestinians can govern themselves.
Right.
Right. So My mood chanting Free Palestine on a sidewalk is activities aligned to Hamas, but Bibi handing Hamas a duffel bag with 5 million American cash is not. Okay. People want this to be about anti-Semitism so fucking bad. And I want to turn off the bullshit counter for a second because I think I'll need a graphic calculator to keep track of it. So, I talked about Chuck Schumer being accused of Palestinian for saying that maybe Mahmoud shouldn't deserve to get out of the country. What the fuck is the ADL doing, man? The Anti-Defamation League? They're worried about Mahmoud when Elon's supporting the ADP in Germany. And JD is literally gave an interview the other day about how the blood of Europeans is being polluted by foreign invading hordes, which is the language that led to the Holocaust. Nazis could be literally reopening Auschwitz, and ADL would be mad about Macklemore rapping. How am I a fucking dipshit comedy writer here to remind anybody of their priorities? Plus, another big tell here is the judge that blocked Khalil's deportation is Jewish. You want to guess how the MAGA right responded to that? Here's Laura Loomer, exclusive Marxist Jewish activist judge and his family exposed. Obama appointee, a bunch of other fucking... So these people are going to get a Jewish judge in the name of protecting Jewish people and getting Jewish people killed. And another fucking farcical layer on top of this, the Trump administration just put out a new executive order last week titled Additional Measures to Combat Anti-Semitism. The executive order was numbered 14188.
Yeah.
The Hitler numbers.
The Hitler, yeah. Is that what's the one in the middle? Four, yeah.
Well, the one in the middle is unfortunate, logistical thing they can't get around because these things are numerically ordered. So some Trump executive order is going to get the number 14188.
Right. Yeah. But 14 is the words, right? There's a statement.
14 words. And then, protect the future for white children.
And
then
eight is the eighth letter of the alphabet, which is H, which is Heil Hitler. Yeah, right.
Yes. So something's
probably just a coincidence, Mark. I don't know.
Right. they put in 100 executive orders. The one that deals with anti-Semitism has the Heil Hitler, numerical code for Heil Hitler in it. So, yeah, I'm sure. I know that they're just trolling with this shit, but fuck, at a certain point, they'll just be trolling when they put people in the ovens. You know, another thing people do is left-wing protests get hit with this fantastical combined with evil thing where it's like the Black Lives Matter protest got funneled into either they were the evil parts, they were paid protesters by George Soros, funded radicals to try to overthrow the American government and place with a black supremacist government or whatever. And then you have the farcical plan where they want to what they want to do is they want to end all policing and make it so we live in an anarchist fake utopia. It's no, what they're asking for is pivoting some amount of city budgets to social work. Right? It's a very material, normal thing to ask for. You can disagree with them if you want, but it's not something outlandish. But what they did with the fucking the Gaza protest, it was either they were calling for the destruction of Israel or they were calling for world peace. Right?
Right. But then, by the same token, whenever, a right-wing protest shows up to literally overthrow the government on the steps of the Capitol, then they're just that was just a bunch of, it's a peaceful. Yeah. Right. So,
right. Yeah. So, the Columbia protesters, the sane ones, not by the ones who were sane and saying shit, but they have material asks of their college administration. Yes. They would have liked to stop the bombings in Gaza, but they were asking the University of Columbia's administration to have a vote, for the board to have a vote, not for them to do it, just to have a vote, or whether or not to divest from investing in companies in Israel and weapons manufacturers here in the United States, right? They're asking them to pivot some of their, merely to have a vote on pivoting some of their investments. That was it. A vote. And they got their fucking skulls cracked in for it. And Everybody pretended they weren't asking for anything real. There are lots of reasons you wouldn't want, I don't really have the relationship with my college that these Ivy League people seem to have with theirs, where it's kind of a family you plan on being a part of.
Right.
Where you deeply care about it 21 years after you no longer go there. I don't really understand that, but these people do, and they feel the need to guide the future of their institutions. But also, there are common sense reasons why a school, an Ivy League school that teaches future people, leaders of the Department of State and the DOD and DOJ, why they wouldn't want the people teaching them about the politics and how the world's work to be making a buck off of war. Seems straightforward to me, right?
Right.
But Like, so that's, anyway, pretending they didn't, they were asking for like outlandish shit is a piece of big bullshit here. The law the administration's citing to take away his legal permanent resident status, it originated during the second Red Scare in 1952. It's called the Immigration and Naturalization Act. It says that, quote, an alien whose presence or activity in the United States, the Secretary of State has reasonable ground to believe would have potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequences of the United States is deportable. It was written to protect the country from communism and, quote, Jewish interests. All right. Another item of big bullshit here is that they're trying to arrange a set of dominoes here where Mahmoud hands out pamphlets in Manhattan, in the city of New York, in the United States, and somehow a few dominoes later, Hamas rules the Holy Land.
Right.
Because he's more powerful than Marco Rubio.
Yes. But it's like you said, right, but it's like a trial run, right, for a lot of stuff that they want to do in the future. Like, it sets a lot of precedents at the same time that they would like to have set for what they can police and how, and what recourse there is, if any, for any of that.
You want, like, a little fun subplot here is the only other time in recent history that this law was invoked is when Bill Clinton tried to deport a former Mexican government official who was accused of corruption. But a federal judge at the time ruled the law was an unconstitutional violation of due process, and that judge was Marianne Trump Berry, Donald Trump's sister. That's a big club, Troy. We're not in it.
You ain't in it. That's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah, that's wild. I didn't even know he had a sister who did that, but yep.
Yeah, she had to resign the first Trump administration over, like, I forget what, maybe just her time to retire, but I remember there being some controversy about it. But anyway, right now the DOJ is examining whether student protests at Columbia University over the genocide in Gaza violated federal terrorism laws. Here's Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche saying so.
The president promised that under his watch, we will no longer stand by while universities tolerate and facilitate anti-Semitism and support of terrorism on their campuses.
All right. So everything's terrorism after 9/11. Fucking everything is terrorism. Like they're, right now they're trying to expand terrorism laws against people that are protesting at Tesla dealerships. So what they're gearing up for is to call you a terrorist and deport you if you boo a Cybertruck.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this is going to end up. Okay. I bring the war on terror up because one of the things they're about to do, and let me quote here from this piece by Spencer Ackerman, the administration intends to detain and deport more Khalils at scale. Axios reported on Thursday that Rubio intends to use an artificial intelligence program to identify visa holders who protest against Israel. So they're going to use an AI to scan social media for activity that is, quote, unquote, unquote, aligned to Hamas, and then see who they can deport for it. The other day, I Googled the runtime of a movie, and Google's AI returned to me that the movie was 1 hour and 7 minutes long, which sounded really short for me for a movie. So I went to the web version and found the actual runtime. It was 107 minutes long, and we're going to let it decipher what's anti-Semitic when no fucking two human beings can agree on what's anti-Semitic.
Yeah, no, yeah. We're placing our trust in these, AI programs that can't even get shit right on Google. I mean, Google's become, like, basically worthless at this point,
yeah, which
is wild because they were, like, I mean, that's how they rose to the peak of the tech pyramid for a while there is because of efficacy. And now you can't, every time you search for anything on there, it's like it's just a bullshit AI summary at the top that probably isn't accurate. And then like five hidden ads disguised as like responses to your search or whatever, or more, you know.
Yeah. And those ads, those top five results can be scams too, and they do nothing to police the scams anymore. And it really should have been a big tell when their founding motto was don't be evil, and they got rid of it and changed
it.
Right. So why would you change? Like, honestly, thank you for being honest when you changed it, I guess. So that brings us to Columbia University and the last big bullshit lie everyone's telling themselves right now that we can coward our way out of this. If you, to keep track of how we got here, last spring we talked about the time a bunch of like college presidents were hauled before Congress and harassed by Republican congresspeople about how they weren't doing enough to fight anti-Semitism. These are hearings led by Elise Stefanik, who promotes the great replacement conspiracy theory that Jews are importing immigrants to replace white people. Okay. That should have been a tell to people, but apparently liberals are fucking too stupid. They don't get played the exact same way every time, because if you just accuse them of anti-Semitism, something in their brain cannot let them go, fuck off. Just say fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah, no, well, people just, you know, you can't be, it's, you got to be, if you're going to be a good liberal, you got to be down with everybody. You know what I mean? You can't be seen as anti-Semitic. You can't let people think you're,
But you weren't being anti-Semitic.
I know that. But I'm saying, if you accuse them of that, and they're like, they automatically get, you know, defensive on the matter.
So the Columbia's president caved, invited cops on the campus to beat the shit out of her students. She got fired anyway. So all this fucking capitulating and activity that got her kids injured, almost killed, accomplished nothing, not even for her own career. The new administration seems determined to rectify that mistake by not even begin with the pretense of integrity or spine. And one thing I want people to notice here is you never see Wesleyan University brought up in any of these discussions. Wesleyan University, the president was like, nope, not calling the cops on my students. Things proceeded normally at pace. They never get brought up in any of this. He said, fuck off, fuck you. Nothing happened.
Right. So there's no downside to, well, at least now, as for now, there's no downside to just, you know, standing up for yourself. But if you bend over for them, you're just going to get railroaded either way. So why do it? It's like, Chuck Schumer capitulating for them and then getting insulted to his face or whatever. If it's going to matter in the end that he was one of the good ones or whatever. It's just not how this shit works.
Mahmood, according to Buzz Public Kit, private independent journalism outfit, Zateo.com, they got a hold of emails that Mahmood sent to Columbia's administration asking for help because he thought he was going to be harassed by ICE. He got none. In fact, it appears they helped ICE find him. They basically let ICE on the campus nonstop. ICE basically gets their own dorm rooms now on Columbia's campus. Some professors try to help their kids keep from getting kidnapped by ICE. They tried to hold classes remotely so they wouldn't have to come to campus. Columbia, in response to that, banned those professors from having remote classes so kids would have to come onto campus to get kidnapped. They've since announced, quote, multi-year suspensions, temporary degree revocations, and expulsions for students who participated in the protest. There were like a half dozen Columbia graduates who were caught spying for the Soviet Union who never had their degrees revoked. They're being harder on these kids than they were fucking literal traitors. Oh my God.
Yeah, everything's upside down, man. People are afraid of these, this administration, I guess. There's been too much of a course correction from a lot of people since they won. It's like people got it in their head that, like, this is what America wants or whatever, so we better listen even if we disagree or something like that. Or they're just afraid, or both. But either way, it's fucked up.
Maybe they don't feel like fucking hauling AOC off to Puerto Rico, like a prison in Puerto Rico, but, like, I don't know. Maybe they haven't gotten around to it. We'll find out, I guess. But Trump also just took away $400 million in funding from Columbia. They did all this after he took money away from them. I don't know what fucking else he can do to them. Mm-hmm. But they're still just capitulating just fucking because it feels good, I guess. Some context here. Columbia's student body is a quarter Jewish. So he's defunded a school which is 26%, I think, Jewish in the name of fighting anti-Semitism. This anti-Semitism panic has resulted in a bunch of Jewish kids losing their access to their education. Chuck Schumer, in another interview over the weekend, was asked about the $400 million funding being taken away from a school that's down the street from his house. In his fucking, these are his constituents. And he's like, well, sounds fine to me. But let's see what the $400 million is for, what he took away. And it's like, I like the idea that Chuck Schumer thinks that the $400 million was like directly funding anti-Semitism, and you could defund $400 million worth of anti-Semitism from a college. What the fuck are you talking about, bro?
No, that's not how any of that works. Their endowment is huge anyway. What's for them? Like, it's not like they have a line item for anti-Semitism or funding protests in the first place, but I guess he just doesn't care because, you know, that pissed him off when he saw those protests that he deemed anti-Semitic in his head. So now it's fucked them from going forward, I guess. I don't know.
Their endowment is $14.8 billion. They're kissing the Trump administration's asshole over $400 million they don't need and have already lost. What's the point in investing in weapons manufacturers to make a cool profit if you don't spend the money on a rainy day?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like you said, now's the time, man. You're not going to get anything for trying to play their game anyway. It's not going to help. So
no. And like what is the, the response to the protest was draconian. Like it was authoritarian crackdown. Like what did they want? Another Kent State plus airstrikes? Like what else does Chuck Schumer want them to have done? They said they didn't do enough to fight anti-Semitism, and now the Trump administration is demanding control over syllabuses at Columbia. He's demanding they immediately place their Middle Eastern, South Asian, and African studies departments under receivership for a minimum of 5 years. That's a condition to receive any more federal funding. And just to put a button on this, I want to quote here, because nothing. Everything new was everything old is new again or whatever. Here's a New York Times article I want to quote from. Columbia hears plea for expelled student. The student members of the American Student Union, including Robert Burke, who was expelled in June for leading the anti-Nazi demonstration last May, addressed a gathering of 500 students of the college and the various schools of Columbia University in front of Hamilton Hall yesterday at noon, appealing to support to youth and their struggle. As of September 25th, 1936. They expelled somebody for protesting Nazis in 1936. And I'm not comparing, I'm not saying Zionists or Nazis or whatever. I'm just saying protesting Nazis was unpopular in 1936.
Yeah. I don't know. Shit's rough, but you have one. Actually, no, we'll save that for next time, I guess. I got to get out of here. I appreciate you guys watching. Thanks for being here. As always, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates and my special Trash Daddy and support us on Patreon and all that fun stuff. Either way, join us next Skewsday for another stirring rendition of Weekly Skews. All right. Love you like chicken. See you. Bye.
Skew.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.